Oftentimes, Jesus used some very commonplace things to teach some great biblical truths. I'm always marveled as I look at particularly his parables and see these everyday common things like salt and seeds and sheep and pearls and coins and even leaven used. You could go over to the Gospel of Luke in the 12th chapter, you can see that he used the birds of the air and the lilies of the field in order to teach a great truth that God is in control of your life and that he's going to take care of his children. So the reality is we too could look around and we could see parables. We could see special applications in Christian living in everyday things that we have about us, just as Jesus did. He could look at birds and farming and fishing and family life. And I challenge each of you to look around you and see what common things you have and what lessons they might be able to teach to you. And I think when you do that, when you begin to see God in everything and in every way, you're going to enjoy a great, great life. So with that in mind, I want you to consider this morning the lessons that we're going to learn from an everyday object. School is about to start, so I looked at that setting for an object that could teach us a lesson, and I have chosen the pencil. And by now, I trust you have all received a wooden pencil. Anyone not have one? Jared's been very gracious in handing them out for me this morning. First glance, this is insignificant. It is surely every day. It is common. But I think it has a lot to do with our spiritual life, if we'll take a moment to look at it closely. So I want to share with you this morning a story. The story is called the Pencil Parable. And it goes like this. In the beginning, the pencil maker spoke to the pencil saying, "There are five things you need to know before I send you out into the world. Always remember them, and you'll become the best pencil that you can be. First is this, you will be able to do many great things, but only if you allow yourself to be held in someone else's hand. Number two, you will experience a painful sharpening from time to time, but this is required if you're to become a better pencil. Third, consider, you have the ability to correct any mistakes you might make. Fourth, the most important part of you is found on the inside. And finally, the fifth is no matter what the condition, you must continue to write. You must always leave a clear, legible mark no matter how difficult the situation." Well, the pencil understood, promising to remember. And he went back into the little wooden box, fully understanding its maker's purpose. As you look at your pencil this morning and you consider those five things, I want you to replace yourself with the pencil. As the pencil maker would say to the pencil, I say to you this morning, there are five things you need to know before you're sent out into the world. Always remember them, and if you do, you're going to be the best person you can be. Let's go back and consider that first thought that the pencil maker said to the pencil. He said, you will be able to do many great things, but only if you allow yourself to be held in God's hand and allow other human beings to have access to you for the many gifts that you possess. Now, we picked up this a zillion times. Pencils are made to write, to draw. That is their purpose, to make a mark. And we all know when they're laying there on your desk, they're not doing anything by themselves. Their purpose is only accomplished when some hand is put around it, some hand that will guide it. And then the pencil will do whatever the hand desires it to do. So the question this morning as we think of this application spiritually is, whose hand is around you? You see, God has given you a choice. Turn with me over to the book of Romans. Let's look together in chapter 6 at verse 16. Romans 6:16 reads this way, Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Either the devil has his hand around you, or God has his hand around you. The reality is that's the only two choices there are, one or the other. And you may only write with your life what the hand guides you to write. Now, we've already read as we began our service this morning that God has created us for a purpose. Now, think about that. Satan didn't make you. Satan's goal is to keep you in this life from doing God's purpose for you. No, Satan didn't make you. God made you. And he does have a purpose for you. And God's purpose for you can only be achieved if you allow God to put his hand around you. And with his hand guiding you, you can write great things in life. And when the Lord lets you do great things in life, I think you also need to remember that the pencil's never proud, neither should we be. Pencil never lays there on the desk and says, well, look at me, I just wrote a book. I mean, golly, it's won great awards. I am important. No, pencil is never proud. Neither should we be proud. Rather, we should give credit to all that we have and talent to the God whose hand is around us, and let us humbly be a willing instrument of his serving hand. Second thought. Pencil maker said to the pencil, sometimes you're going to experience some very painful sharpening. The reality is the same thing is true as us. Sometimes you're going to sharpening from time to time, and you're going to go through various challenges, perhaps, and you're going to come out, as a result of that, a stronger person. Pencil writes best when it's sharpened. They won't write as brand new pencils like I just gave to you. And you know, we have all used that little stub of a pencil because that's all that we had available. If it marks at all, it's going to be very light, it's going to be very dull, it's going to be very sloppy, it's going to be extremely inaccurate. And just as a pencil needs to be sharpened, so you need to be sharpened. I don't suppose that the pencil feels the thing when it slid into the pencil sharpener and that blade begins to turn around it. I do know that it hurts a lot when we are sometimes sharpened by God. Very beautiful verse, simple, short, over in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, verse 19, it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Have you been rebuked or chastened by the Lord in your life? It hurts, doesn't it? But if you need that correction, the Lord, because he loves you, will chasten, will rebuke you. But even if you're not being sharpened as a result of God having some direct chastisement upon you, each of us need to sharpen our own pencils. Each of us need to sharpen our spiritual tools so that we're a better writing instrument for the Lord. Put your mind, put your body, put your soul into your work. Practice using the spiritual gifts that God has given you. Now, there are a few out there who say, but look, I've been at this a long time. And to be truthful, my pencil is extremely sharp. It has been sharpened over the many years. And now there's nothing left of me but a little stub. I pray that I might be able to say that at the end of my life, like you could say, like Paul said. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians, there's a beautiful verse in chapter 12, verse 15, and he says it this way, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. May at the end of our journey be able to look back and say, I have spent the whole of my life trying to write what God has purposed me to write. God bless you who wear yourselves low in the service of the Lord. Third thought, pencil maker says, you will be able to correct the mistakes that you might make and grow through them. Now, every good pencil, and these pencils are no exception, have a little eraser there on top. And that's sure helpful to a guy like me who didn't do very well in grammar and spelling. And there's got to be a reason that kids don't do math with pen and ink. Because we all make mistakes. But with a pencil, when one makes a mistake, readily right there on the top is an eraser. As if the pencil is already prepared to the fact that we're going to probably make mistakes. And we're going to need to turn it over and put this little eraser down and smudge a little and whammo! The error is gone. And we can start anew. It's also kind of saying to me, you know, it's right there. I know you're going to make mistakes. That's why I put an eraser on this pencil. And it's okay. If you make a mistake, to erase the mistake. It's the honorable thing. It's the duty that you have. Correct it. Make it right. I don't know whether you ever considered it, but you always write this way, lead down, eraser up. But in order to erase your mistake, the head of the pencil has to bow really low, does it not? Can't approach God with a proud heart. God allows us to erase our mistakes. If you're not a Christian, God says, look, I've got the biggest eraser that you can imagine. I sent Christ my Son down to the cross so that you might have an opportunity to erase all the problems, all the mistakes, all the errors. Over in the book of Acts in chapter 2, verse 38, if you're not a Christian, listen to what Peter said to those who he convicted on that day of Pentecost about just crucifying their Lord. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. In other words, let God take His eraser to your sins. Whammo! They're gone. Many of us have already been baptized into Christ. God bless you for doing that. But we still make mistakes. God still has an eraser for us. But if you go over to the Gospel of Luke in the 18th chapter, you recall that occasion in which a tax collector, instead of standing proud on his soapbox, bowed really low. Beginning in verse 13, he says, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Do not be ashamed to bow and to allow God to erase your mistakes, just as the pencil does. There's a fourth thought, and I think it's a very important part. The pencil maker said to the pencil, the most important part of you will always be what's on the inside. Now, you've seen pencils. They come in all shapes and sizes. You've seen those that look like sticks and those that are tall and thin and those that are short and fat and those that have erasers on the top that look like clowns or like animals or gummy bears or whatever. Some of them have stripes all around. Some pencils have polka dots all over them. They come in all shapes, sizes, colors. But what's on the inside is the same in every pencil. The lead, the graphite. What's inside you is more important in God's eye than the outside. I mean, let's face it, people like pencils come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? Some are tall and thin, some are short and fat. Some of us have stripes around us and polka dots. Some of us do look like clowns. Over in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 22, verse 36, Jesus had been asked, what is the greatest commandment? in all the law. Jesus turns to the man and he simply says in verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That's the great commandment. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's what's on the inside. That's what's on your inside if you're in Christ. And if you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, your insides are going to write a very beautiful story in this life in which you live. A final thought. The pencil maker said to the pencil, "On every surface you walk, you must leave your mark. No matter what the situation, you must continue to serve your higher purpose in life." Pencil designed for the purpose of writing down information. In some form or another, maybe you move the pencil across the paper and you leave a line. Anybody know how long a line, a number two pencil on average, will leave? 35 miles. Now some of us press harder than others. So each pencil has its own particular line to draw. Maybe your line will be a beautiful picture. Maybe your line will be words. Maybe they'll be specific words. Maybe these words are going to form some unique mission, relay information, or tell a story from one person to another. When you think about it, we're all like pencils. We are really writing a very specific story as we walk through this life. And wherever we go, we leave a mark. Really drawing your own life story, if you will. I draw mine, you draw yours. And the people that you come in contact with on a daily basis, whether that's casually, whether that's in the job setting, whether that's in school or across the fence in the backyard, you're going to leave that person a different person because of their contact with you. You will leave a mark upon them. An impact, if you will. An impression. Maybe the question to ask this morning when we consider all of this is, how are we impacting other people? Is it in a good way? Is it in a bad way? Are we going to leave them better because they saw through us something that they could grow from? Maybe they saw through us the love of God? Remember, we said at the beginning that God has created each of us for a purpose, and just as the pencil has a purpose, we have a purpose. Let's go back to those verses we began with this morning in our service found over in the book of Romans in chapter 12. Let's reread verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Over in the book of Romans in chapter 7, verse 4, it says, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." Finally, a verse found over in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 5, where it says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now, our little story talked about a pencil maker. Somebody did make this pencil. And we're like pencils. We do have a maker. Making us for a unique and a special purpose. And if we can remember that, if we can understand that, then we can proceed through this life here on this earth having a meaningful reason for being here, a purpose in our heart. Now pick up your pencil and you look at that pencil and it says on the side of that pencil, "Office Depot." Woo. You know this pencil came from Office Depot. It's marked. As Christians, we have a mark upon us. Shows that we are possessions of the Creator, our Creator. were marked with love. Over in the Gospel of John in chapter 13, verse 5, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. If we're Christians, we're marked with faithfulness. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." We're marked with a zeal to do good works. In the book of Titus, in the second chapter, verse 14, it says, "Who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good work." People are looking at you. They're looking at your actions, and they're looking at your reactions. And the question is, what kind of impression will they get about your Maker? I spent a few bucks for you today. This pencil was bought with a price. You know, a price was paid for you. Purchased through the blood of a sinless Savior. In 1 Peter in chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, it says, "Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." In 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 19, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of God? Spirit who is in you is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I want to finish my story. Remember how it went? Pencil maker took the pencil aside just before putting them into the box. There are 5 things you need to know. Before I send you out into the world, always remember them and never forget them, and you will be the best pencil you can be. And the pencil understood and promised to remember and went into the box with purpose in his heart. Now the pencil lay in the box on the dark wood table, feeling insignificant and rather sad, because beside him on the desk was a colorful tin can filled with every kind of beautiful pen to be had. There were silver fountain pens. There was even a neon-tipped felt pen, classy ballpoint pens. Everyone called one of them Parker. "What a loser," they said of the pencil, as they observed his little wooden frame. "Don't bother with him. He's a nobody," said Parker. "He doesn't even have a name." Now the world was at war, and their owner was a soldier who was tasked to bring peace to the land. "We need a map," the soldier said to his officer across the desk one day. "If someone could just fly me over the city unseen, I can draw a map from the sky, and the map will tell you where to go and how to win, and soon we'll put an end to this fight." The officer agreed. Now the soldier would fly. And as he prepared for the flight, he had this discussion with his wife at home. "I need something to draw with, something dependable, something that won't fail me in mid-flight." And the soldier looked down at his desk and observed all the pens that he had, and he studied each one, and their bodies were all shimmering, and he weighed them in his hand, and he lifted one and said, "Oh, this one won't work. The ink might blot and ruin my map. And this one, it needs to be refilled every few hours. And this one, it's going to dry out if you leave the cap off." And he looked at each one, and every one he picked up, he found that there was something wrong. Or at least he anticipated problems if he used them in the sky. I need something that would work whatever the conditions. And I need it soon, my dear wife. She looked down and she saw the pencil. And she took it and she gave it to her husband. And here, honey, take this pencil. Battered old yellow thing, teeth marks all over it. Been sharpened a lot. It will write no matter what. It will write on the plane. It's the best writing tool that you can have. And the soldier smiled and he kept the pencil in his pocket and he took it with him on the plane and he finished the map and the map helped bring them peace and the pencil has never been the same. Pencil was now more than just a stub. But there wasn't much left. It was kind of broken on the outside. Really wasn't very long anymore, and the eraser had long since been used up, and even the little metal ring had been stolen by somebody. They bit it off. And he lay there back on the desk in the box, waiting for those five words from the pencil maker. Well done, my faithful pencil. Well done, my faithful pencil. There will be a day when we will be nothing but a stub. There'll be a day in which we will have teeth marks all over the outside. We won't look so hot. We'll be old and worn out, perhaps. Well, we're going to stand before our Maker. And we're going to listen for those five words. Well done, my faithful person. Well done. This morning, we're going to sing the song of invitation. Christ invites you to let Him put His hand around you and write with you according to His will and purpose. If you haven't done that, let's do that today. Come through faith, through repentance of your sin, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Let Him erase all of that through the watery grave of baptism. Let you arise and walk as a new creature with a new purpose. Come if you will as we stand and sing.